Welcome to another episode of Music Mashathon. Here I have Amora. They just got down here and played some acoustic sets of their post-hardcore, screamo, emo. Well, we got band members, Billy Z. We got Tristan Wickler. We have Brian Rodriguez and Chris Swanson. To my right, I got the Steve William Johnson, who actually has pictures. You got pictures of yourself in t-shirts now? Explain this one to me, man. So, so being in, you know, being in Florida Wayne, I didn't realize the Florida Wayne experience now included, like, you crazy eye.
Yeah, nah, man. So that was like a video, and then Chris had paused it, or there's a picture of me out there, and Chris, the owner of Chaplin, zoomed in on my face, and he's like, wow, Steve looks terrible. I'm going to put that on a t-shirt.
So I want to thank you guys for coming down here. You guys did three songs acoustically of what you usually do electrically, and this is the first time you actually did it as a band in this way.
Yeah.
What was it like?
Scary.
Tristan and I have like fumbled around with a couple of these before, just because, like, you know, we're the guitar players and our bass player isn't even here. He's upstairs working.
He was right upstairs now, working so, the whole time you guys were playing.
Yeah. So yeah. Brian had never done this with us on drums before.
Yeah,
so
I just kind of
improvised all that.
Yeah, we made it up. Pretty much.
One of the first songs we did, Girls Night, is a brand new song. We haven't even recorded that yet. We've just been trying to crank out as many new stuff as possible, and we really kind of fell in love with this one, and we've just been playing it out. So we were doing it at a guitar sound. We're like, oh, this kind of sounds good acoustic. So we had the guitars down for the most part, and then we just kind of put it all together.
'90s influence in your music too, man. Is that where you guys are pulling from mostly? You getting that
like
vibe?
You guys got like,
well, that's where
Volta
we're all from.
In there. I
was four in the '90s.
What did you say, Volta?
Yeah.
I'm more of an At the Drive-In fan, but Nick Upstairs is a big.
I feel like it depends on who you ask. Like, I don't know. I feel like we have very different musical influences that we pull from, if you will.
In the same family, but different. Different bands that I think we all like to channel each, but yeah.
You guys use maybe a little bit of that influence when you're driving your sound. Like who's driving that sound, and who do you think that you would say like would be thankful for that driven sound? Like where you guys are making new music, using those influencers from the past, right? And you've got friends around you too. Like what's really driving that new sound for you guys?
Before I joined the band, I've only been in for about a year and a half, and like Tristan and Brian wrote like. Pretty much, like, I'd say at least, like, 80% of the record we put out. You know, I came in, and the songs were pretty much
which
done.
Record? I guess, when did you join in the band?
February.
You guys have three albums out there, right?
Yeah, there's one EP. There's a split EP with a band called Above the Mendoza that we did.
Okay.
And then there's Martyr. And pretty much up until Chris joined the band, it was Brian and I writing everything. And I think that's partially because him and I are both kind of control freaks in our own ways.
And I think about, to you know, us writing, like, especially like when we wrote in lieu of, like, oh my God, I listen to that record now, and I'm just like, wow, I'm visiting an illegitimate child.
Is that Martyr?
Like, I just...
Are we talking about Martyr?
No, we're talking about in lieu of.
In lieu of.
Like the first.
Yeah, the first one, yeah.
Yeah, the one no one wants to speak about. Except Billy.
I can speak about it. It's fine. Yeah.
No, Billy, you're not going to speak about it.
Yeah.
The control.
Silence.
I'm going to sit my strawberry space, man.
Answer your question real quick. I think Brian and I have a lot of very similar influences, except he's a little bit more classic rock and I'm a little bit more R&B. And we find the middle ground between that somehow. And then you have Amora, and then I got burnt out on writing music, and then Chris joined the band, and I was like, Chris, put a lead here. And he was like, okay. and then that happened. And then honestly, for Girls Night and for Silver Tongue, Chris kind of pioneered the writing process of those two.
And in what way?
He kind of just was like, here's a song.
Yeah, I would just like write the basic song structure. I would like come up with a riff, And because obviously I didn't really, I started writing these songs like 6 months into the band. So we were playing a ton and writing. We were just together all the time when I first joined. Tristan and I just moved in together. And so it was just, you know, we were flourishing in this kind of like reinventing, you know, they took me in and they were like, all right, we're halfway through this record. And so we were just always in the studio or always near each other. So I was able, like, really lucky just to kind of pick up on, like, their style and what they already had. Like, I met them before, like, Billy and Tristan before Amora started, like, back when we were, like, teenagers. And then we were playing in separate bands at the time, and I was going to college, so I wasn't really out as much. And I kind of, like, reconnected with them when I was out of school, and we just kept playing a lot together in different bands. And Tristan and I would just run into each other at the mall or something, and you'd be like, yo, check out this demo we're working on. And that was kind of how it all started.
And that's a little different than the normal writing process.
Yeah, absolutely. It was it was a lot building. It was just kind of taking it, like, step by step. There was a lot of writing in the studio.
What drove you to come back to these guys?
I kind of forced them to.
Yeah, we were like Facebook friends. We followed each other. Yeah. We never really hung out.
Weapon are we talking about?
Glock 9. Yeah.
I was more than willing. I was in a couple bands at the time, and I just moved back in with my parents. I was trying to figure out where I was going to live. I was going out to school in Kutztown, and I was just working in the area where Tristan was a mall rat. We just kept running into each other. We'd be like, oh, what are your bands doing? What are your bands doing? That was pretty much it, and he showed me a demo to the song How Blue the Ocean Is, which is the first song we released off Martyr. He just showed me. It was like right when it was like the first real mix of it. Like, they got all the vocal layers on there. They're kind of the scratch vocals, and it blew my mind. I was like, screw my band. I want to play guitar in this. And then they were playing a show, and him and Nick were in the car. They looked back at me, and they said, you serious? I was like, wait, are you serious? And I just kind of, it was it. I met Brian like an hour later.
Why don't you tell him what your first question to him was?
Well, like, look, like, you know, when my band recommends me somebody, I think so highly of them initially because I think so highly of my bandmates. Just every one of them is just a budding genius. And and so they're like, oh, like, yo, you should meet Chris, like. And they were talking him up. I'm like, man, I'm gonna ruin this kid's life. And so I walked in there, and my first question to him was like, dude, are you any good?
Like, dude, it was just, you any good?
Yeah. Like, do you even play?
Yeah, yeah. Like,
yeah, you suck.
Show me the first act.
Show me how you play a G chord.
Yeah. But I actually, like, we actually saw them at the Champ.
Yeah, our separate bands played together like 2 weeks later.
Yeah, and Billy and I, we went through a snowstorm to get to that show. And yeah,
like, just to watch Chris pretty much, like,
yeah, literally. And Resting was on first, and like I stood all the way in the back, like, in the dark with my arms crossed. I was like, I'm going to watch this kid, and I'm going to watch every fuck up, and I'm going to take a tally. But
guys are really supportive bands.
No, we really are. But, like, I was actually, like, legitimately blown away by it. And I was like, yeah. Like, I could not stop nodding the entire
time. Me and Brian were, like, looking at each other. So I remember we were just like, yeah, oh, my God. He's like, yeah. Good. Yes.
I was delighted.
I've been trying just to find the way, just to tell you that, just to say that I think we're sinking deeper. And I've been fighting, screaming the whole way, tooth and nail, pulling myself from the grave, just to fall back down again. And I don't think I'm coming back this time.
I have a compound question for the both.
Compound.
Compound.
Oh, right. I put those beers down.
That's a big word.
So it's a two-part, right? It's a two-part because I'm curious to see the origin of the point. So I hear a lot of tragedy in the music, meaning the situations that you've all possibly have been through. The question would be, is that it's the tragedy that you guys experience as individuals and in a group transform and shape the music that you create beyond that point, Or do you use those influences to make music, but not a direct reference to the actual event that occurred? So it could be about a girl, but not a situation that you had lived through, but a similar feeling that you had gotten from it.
Oh, it's straight breakups. Okay. It's straight breakup stories.
I want to say it's kind of both.
More recently, I think I know with at least how I write. I don't know. A lot of the people I like are very story driven. I've only, you know, contributed a very limited amount of lyrics, but more recently they've given me some freedom on that, and I like to think I'm more story based. I like, you know, narratives, and you know, I'll take a little bit of something and kind of blow it up, and you know, I just like to anything anybody can really relate to. I don't know, a lot of metaphors and just, you know.
And Billy, do you write a lot on any of the songs?
Yeah, I do. I mean, the way I look at it, I've been reflecting on Martyr recently as like. You ever listen to Good Kid, Mad City by Kendrick Lamar?
Absolutely.
That album is pretty much like Kendrick being like 17, 18 years old and like a year in the life of that.
He paints the story.
Yeah.
In that album.
So when I look back and listen to Martyr, you know, because I don't want to think I'm like that person like still. But it's to me, Martyr is like this like snapshot, like, you know, a year or 2 years in the life of like these kids who are, you know, kind of growing up, going through a lot of different situations like life doesn't prepare you for. Mm-hmm. And, you know. How, like, you know, you're kind of getting through that. Like, there's, like, a lot of anger on it. There's a lot of angst. There's a lot of sadness. There's a lot of, like, just many mixed different things.
But it's more introspective. It's not more introspective. It's not anger towards outward. It's more inward and how you feel.
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
it's always an internal struggle.
I think another big part of it is Billy and I both write lyrics, and we both write, in my opinion, pretty differently. Mm-hmm. I think Billy's always been a little bit more of a storyteller than me, and I've always kind of just been like...
Raw emotion.
Let me tell you what I did today. Like, mm-hmm. Let me tell you what
Survivor's
happened to me today.
Yeah.
Whether it's a story about something that's happened to us or just a story that we're trying to tell in general, I think both of them play a part in lyrically how things come, and I think that I personally, you know, am kind of moving in the direction of telling a story about something else as opposed to something from my own life.
Right.
I think my biggest thing, I know Chris and I talk about this all the time, but my biggest thing is that like there's so much like just scary shit happening in the world right now.
Absolutely. So would you say your music's moving now more towards an existential?
In some ways. I mean, for me, it's I think for me it's just gonna get political and, mm-hmm. and you know.
That's
just
what we've been jamming lately.
Yeah,
a lot of anti-flex.
So in the beginning, it was introspective,
yeah.
more personal yeah. of a personal experience. But as you grow as a band, yeah. it's becoming more of like the entire world and what you experience,
exactly.
what you're seeing people experience.
My motto going into it now, like lyrically, my motto going forward is my plan is to attempt to spread empathy through anger.
There you go.
Because it's a lot easier.
I agree with that.
It's a lot easier to spread apathy and anger than it is to spread empathy.
It is.
And if I could spread empathy through anger, mm-hmm. you know, in the same way that every punk band that I grew up listening to, you know, even now, like Sharptooth, Straight from the Path, The Fever 333, they're all, you know, they're spreading empathy, they're telling stories, but in a lot of ways they're doing it through anger.
Anger can be sensationalist. Exactly. Very easily.
It's very sensational. Not a lot of people can control it, or not a lot of people can even reach that point to get to that point where they're screaming.
Yeah, like the way I've always like defined our music is like we can either bring you into our minds or into the moment.
Mm-hmm.
And like I think like Tristan hit the nail on the head when you say like he writes in a completely different way than Billy does. And I think our music has that confluence, and you know, just watching like them do it is very interesting.
It's very cool. It's
yeah. nice dynamic. And your live shows are, you guys really connect with the fans you have right there. Like you really immerse yourselves with the fans.
We try to be fun. That's the main thing. Like, mm-hmm. We can only be so brooding and just, you know, lyrically and musically, you know, brooding and miserable. But like, on
but
stage,
I feel like you bring everyone into it.
Yeah,
everyone into the brooding, miserable experience.
They know we have problems.
This is the first band of like,
because everyone's got problems. Yeah, everyone's got issues, right? Everyone can relate to it.
And that's the one thing I think we all share. You know, I don't even know where I'm going to go with this, but just like, especially with the live shows, you know, a lot of those songs like have been around, and people, the best feeling is, you know, this is the first band where people actually sing back. Like people know the words and they sing back, and it's the most beautiful feeling. You know, I didn't even write that shit, but just seeing people.
What was
like,
it like the first time you experienced that?
It's weird. It's weird. It's like you focus on that. Like you're. It's almost like the crowd's kind of entertaining you. Like yeah. It just. It's so. I don't know that.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead. No. Take
it. I remember when we did like our album release show, and I just remember like walking up, and like nobody went out to smoke a cigarette. Nobody did anything. Like okay, some people did, but like not everybody. And like people were just waiting. And then we started the intro, and it was just like a loud. Like everybody was just screaming.
I heard
it's
them.
It's funny
over you
mention that because it's like you know at a show, you know that there are people who smoke because they smoke because they just have to smoke, and you know that there are people going out to smoke because they don't want to hear the music. That's about to
exactly
played.
And like I remember like
that's good
for anyone who's you know listening I work here and like there's times where I'm down here by myself and it's weird because I seen this room have like 100 like you
right,
know, kids
yeah,
in here
out.
And just
yeah.
like how crazy
you mean 83 hashtag fire code am I right guys
exactly.
We follow the rules
yeah. exactly 83 yeah. patrons 83
no more
yeah but like you know it's like I'll be cleaning up the bar and, like, sweeping over here. And, like, I'll just, like, sit down and just be like, wow. Like, I can just, like, almost, like, it's, like, weird to, like, feel, like, how different a room can be when, like, you put
Spect,
that, like,
yeah,
energy
right.
and, like, that spirit and, like, that connection, like, in there.
Right. Let's take a little break from the guys from Amora. These guys really kill it, right? You can feel the passion in the music. A lot of pain. A lot of pain with a little bit of emo. But do you know what else has pain? It's when the Eagles do a nice big slap down and start beating these teams up left and right. So we made a beer in honor of the Eagles. Rye Eagles Rye. One of my all-time favorite styles. Rye IPAs. This is a double dry hopped rye pale sitting at 5.7%. So it's a great beer, and it's got such a nice little nutty malt character from the Vienna hops, from the Crystal, a lot of rye in here. It's a light body, medium light, but edges more towards the light side. Man, love this beer. Easy drinking, and it's got a nice little red color. You can't beat it. Check it out, and let's get back to Amora, and let's hear a little more of the emo.
I've been trying just to find the way, just to tell you that, just to say that I think we're sinking deeper. And I've been fighting, screaming the whole way, tooth and nail, pulling myself from the grave, just to fall back down again.
What do you guys do is different to get fans like literally connected to you?
I think
literally like right there as you're playing on your shoulders.
I think I have a good shitty answer for this one.
Good shitty answer. That's brilliant. Good shitty answer.
I just think that we just each of us individually craves so much attention. We just go out so hard for it. Just I don't know. I mean that's the thing. You know, we're still kids. We're still not kids, and that's why I guess the difference in the music today. But as much as we feel like a collective, and I think more recently, you know, we've been practicing more. We're actually getting tighter and more cohesive. But still, you know, as soon as there's an audience, it's like there's such a separation. Like
I think like the audience can tell, especially when we all play, that on an individual level, it's such a reprieve for us. Like,
yeah.
Like it's such a relief to play. And I think that even if you're talking about something as simple and stupid as like eye contact we make toward each other, like you could tell we're having fun. Like
yeah.
I think that's like so important to me, especially as a drummer. Like I
yeah.
make sure.
I think that you can go to so many shows and see like, I don't know. I know personally, like, I remember being in bands with people that, like, I remember I was in one band. This kid was like, I want to make music like A Day to Remember because I want to be in a bus one day. And I was like, I think Oof. You're doing this for the wrong reason. But, you know, there's a lot of bands I've seen and I've played with that I'm not here to talk poorly about them. Like, if they're happy doing what they're doing, I want nothing but
just
the best.
Just mention names
them.
When you do.
Yeah, right. you know, I hope nothing but the best for them if that's what they want to do. But I kind of feel like I can predict where everybody's going to be, what everybody's going to do, because I've watched an Asking Alexandria music video. Mm. You know, I've watched a metalcore music video. And I think that all of us in our own ways are very unapologetically ourselves, whether that's, you know, Chris shouting or making out with his guitar, or Nick fish hooking his mouth and wiping his blood on his face.
Wearing a ghillie suit.
He did that a couple times. whether it's, you know, Brian dislocating his shoulder and popping it back in and continuing. Or me just pretending that I'm Pete Wentz for a couple minutes.
Yeah, I straight up asked you like the other day, like before we were about to play a song, like, yo, how's that go?
Yeah.
For me personally, like my twin brother is super into hip hop music and he got me like really into hip hop music. So like you go to a hip hop show and you realize how different everything is. They focus so much on crowd interaction. Like you have like, there's like a hype man sometimes or like they're just constantly hype and constantly like connecting with the crowd, even if the crowd's like huge or whatnot. And it's like people don't take away from that or they don't see like other scenes where like people are like doing something totally different other than like, yo, everybody jump like 3, 2, 1. And then like, big like drop or something like that. And like, stuff as simple as that. Like people don't tend to do that. It's like.
Billy, why? What have you guys seen at? What makes, because you guys connect, you guys do that. A lot of bands, like you said, they don't do that. A lot of bands just like to be up there.
Is there
expectations or is there something, is it like something more in a personality of these bands? Something that.
I think it's just because Billy's cute.
Yeah. No, but I think it's how you label yourselves. And I'm gonna answer this question very carefully. Billy and I love a lot of old school, like early 2000s screamo and shit. But, we don't like to typecast ourselves into one of our bands. Like I said, we all kind of like a bunch of different artists. We like, there's a lot of people we're inspired by separately that, we try to channel in our performance if it's live. And that's the thing. Like, Billy likes to be hype. And I love that. I like playing sad music. But I hate being sad. I'm sorry, there's no comfort in that.
When I open the blinds, all I see is black and white. Let this sun come in, I think I'll be alright. I won't be scared of taking my time when everything is okay and I'm doing just fine. I'm doing just fine. Where all my colors lose contrast, the steel is raised to my neck. What is this I have to ask? Was it something I said? Cause I swear I'll take it back. I can never sit still like I'm always off track.
So you guys did the Silver Tongue video down here.
Mm-hmm.
How long did that take? Tell me a little bit about that video.
We started writing it in probably December of this past year, obviously. In the next month, it was like around Christmas time. I would say like early mid January. We recorded it within like a week. We went two little studio sessions. We got all the instruments done in one day, and started vocals. And then we came back in for a vocal day, and it was done.
And then we guys did the video. How long? What was that?
That was in March. That was March 30th. So just over two months later, we had our emo night show, which was incredibly fun.
Nice. Well done. You guys do a lot better than most bands. Not only do you guys connect with your fans in a way that is rarely seen on the rock side, I think you guys also do phenomenal. Like your marketing, whoever does the photos for you guys is
Cody
insane.
Mitchell. He is our boy.
He is insane.
Either Cody Mitchell or Katya Ivanovsky. It depends on what era you're looking at.
Like there's no time.
He's one of the two.
You don't look at the photos and say, I wish I was there.
Kat like did one of the photos on a shirt we just put out. It's like right down the street. It's one of our favorite photos. She's so realist with her style. I love it. There's just a picture of us next to like a classic car.
It's like total
gaslight.
Like a
anthem
random car movie. Just seen in the parking lot.
Yeah, we saw it and we're basically like, this looks like a gaslight anthem cover.
She makes
Let's
us work
it.
Too. Like she has an eye, so she'll be like, nope, you got to move like 2 inches this way. Like Cody's just kind of there in the moment. That's what he like.
Yeah.
Kat like capture knows how to capture like set things up and like have it totally apples and oranges in the photographer realm.
But to answer your question, at show Cody. Regular photo shoot cat.
What's Silver Tongue going to be part of?
The future for Silver Tongue is TBA. We don't know if we're going to leave it the way it is or go back, record it again.
So it could be changed up a little bit.
Yeah. We don't, we're still, we, our plans for our next release are, keep changing a bit just due to,
It's actually going
to
be a country song now.
Yeah.
Bet your life on twice with your silver tongue. Call it quits with my new your loaded gun.
Gold hard hold out silver.
See, it's already planned out. So,
And then we're going to be a surf rock band and we're going to be called Jesus Christ Faked All His Orgasms.
Where can people find out more about Amora with a zero.
With a zero, yeah.
With zero. A zero.
Russian
yeah.
Google.
Russian Google.
Look, all you have to do, you got to go to that Spotify, the Apple Music, that Google Play, that Napster, any illegal torrent website that Martyr happened to be on. I torrented her album from Japan. Just look up Amora, throw a zero instead of the O.
I want to thank Amora for coming in here and playing some songs and coming on to the Round Guys Radio. Music mash ton. You can find out more about Round Guys Radio at facebook.com/roundguysradio. You can see all of our episodes anywhere on the interwebs at Apple, Google Play, Spotify, or really anywhere that has podcasts. Listen, share, subscribe, and find out more about Round Guys, roundguysbrewery.com, undergroundlandslow.com, and see what these guys are up to. And yeah, thank you again for listening, and look forward to hearing from you guys in the future.
I used to measure every single mile, like every single one was killing me. But now I feel like I can't get far enough away. I can't get far the fuck enough away. Your ghost still haunts my head, and I'm digging up the bones of what we once were. Cause I can't shake the feeling that every night I feel like I'm better off dead. But I'll always be just the sum of my failures, and that's all I'll ever be. To you and to every single person around me. But tonight I'll breathe your name in for the first time in a year, and you're making me sick to my fucking stomach. And tonight I'll smoke a cigarette for the first time in weeks, because breathing in cancer, because breathing in cancer tastes better than the air that reminds me of you.